All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight and just appreciate all that you're doing in all of our hearts and lives. And just look forward as we get into this book, Lord, that you would just minister to each and every one of us right where you would have us to be. Lord, let us be open ears to hear and hearts to receive. And so, Father, we thank you. We praise you about tonight of just speaking to our hearts. So go before us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight, I want to kind of take a look at something. And I think these kind of areas in this particular book, it's going to be a practical application because we deal with so much. You know, when you've been burnt by somebody, been ripped off, been lied to, you know, you go down and you go to Walmart and you buy something and then you find it at Target for cheaper, you feel that you've been ripped off. And what does it cause? Hurt. So when something happens in your life, there's hurt. And so here, we're going to see some of these illustrations. And then there's bitter. You have being bitter. You know, when somebody especially invades your privacy or you felt you've been, you know, you trusted someone and you looked to them and they were maybe loyal and committed to you and things happen. And all of a sudden you get bitter in your heart from what? Trusting or believing in anybody else. Then it produces what? Unforgiveness. We start having unforgiveness. I'm not going to forgive that person. That person knew me. I know that person. And that was totally wrong for what they did. And then we start harboring these feelings of unforgiveness. And all of a sudden, you know, this is welching up in our lives, in our relationship, even in the Lord, you know, because now there's hurt, there's bitterness, or there's bitter and there's unforgiveness. And then all of a sudden, prejudice. We start to stereotype people, whether, you know, well, they're all like that, or I don't trust their kind, or I don't trust people that's been in rehabs or been in programs or off drugs or all the same type of mentality. But this is what we run into in our lives, even every day as Christians. And sometimes I think that what we have to realize in and through our lives is where do we stand? What do we do with these mixed emotions and feelings? Because you know what? I believe every Christian battles with various circumstances and situations. And tonight that we've got to ask ourselves, maybe you've been bitter, or maybe you've been having unforgiveness, or maybe there's prejudice in your own, and you don't even think about it until it arises in your life, or because you've been hurt, because maybe that mechanic, and the part of that prejudice, all mechanics are ripped off people. They just rip off. I hate mechanics. And you become stereotyping various people. Well, on the flip side of that, you start to have people that you look what from being hurt to heal, having healing a relationship, letting God heal what your heart, and this is something that we have to see that only way to get through some of these areas is for healing to take place. That you're letting it go and you're looking for God's healing grace in and through your life, and then the other part of it from that bitterness, joy. Because you know what? If you carry around bitterness, have you seen people when they're just bitter? They have this extinguished kind of frowning face. You know, they walk around like they're mad. You know, sometimes you can describe some of the pastors here on staff. No. I was telling James. I said, James, even we had Peggy throw a water at him. Says, you know, I'm going to sprinkle you with holy water. No, but you know, we look at, you know, people that you know are bitter, they need joy, you know, and it's nothing like joy to take away. When you know, and when you got joy, no matter how hot it is or what the situation or rain or cold, there's joy in your life, and it's just like you got a kick in your step, man. It just brings that elevation of joy and peace into you. And then the unforgiveness is having forgiveness. When you can truly know that you've forgiven somebody for what wrong they have wronged you. And you know, the hardest thing, that person that wronged you, they're dealing with more of the guilt than you could ever imagine because you forgave them, and they know you forgave them, They've got to deal with it, and you just let it go. It's not a big thing. You're not holding on to it. You're not hurt. You're not bittered anymore, and you don't have an unforgiveness spirit within you. You're just like, hey, how's it going? Because why? You've released it, and you let it go. And then the most important part, becoming co-labor, a partner, when those that wronged you. You know, to me, I find some of those situations when a person has, you know, you've become prejudice because how they did you, and you stereotype people, and all of a sudden you come along, and you know, and you partner with them. It's like, you know what? You find yourself to be more loyal, more committed, and they're being more faithful to you than ever before. Why? Because you've shown grace, mercy, and compassion in their lives. But tonight's study, looking at a man who was betrayed, and that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to look at a man who was betrayed and needed a friend to remind him of God's grace through his own character. And this is something important. Sometimes we just need those Barnabas in our lives to come alongside us, put their arms around us, and say, bro, it's going to be okay. Let me just encourage you. Let me just remind you of how far God has brought you from. And what God's done, you know, not so much looking who's wronged you, who deceived you, who misled you. Let me remind you of what God has done in and through your life. Let's take a look at your own character. And so Paul takes this young man, and Paul knew him very well. And he starts to talk to him. And so here in the book of Philemon, if you will, turn with me to the book of Philemon. We're going to see in this book how this book came about. And of course, this chapter, this book was written sometime back in of Colossians. But we also, Paul was in prison. This is his first time being incarcerated. And he was in prison in Rome. And God started to do amazing work with Philemon in prison, or I should say with Onesimus. But also a work was going on in Philemon's heart. You know, God uses sometimes those ugly situations, those bad circumstances. He turns them around and he uses it. And so as Onesimus was, you know, kind of be taught a lesson and he comes into a certain person, God's already at work in Philemon's heart. And so here, as he writes this, Onesimus, who was a slave, he was a servant of Philemon, and Philemon had trusted him. And then all of a sudden, he got an urge to rip him off. And he takes off. He burns his master. And so it becomes real personal. So Paul, in the first three verses, he makes the introduction of who he is and a fellow worker. But then he goes into verse 4 where he talks about the character of Philemon. And I like how Paul kind of spells this out. And, you know, we look at, there's an old saying and a verse that is well emphasized, Romans 8. We know that all things, in verse 28, work out together for the good of them. Now, that's the key word, of them that love God, you know. And so he uses that, how God brings it around in a full circle, because he's going to use what was a bad situation and turn it that both people gets ministered. He also reveals Philemon's heart, but he also deals with Onesimus and brings him to a place where repentance is needed. And I think sometimes in our lives as Christians, there's things that we struggle, and sometimes we walk around like nothing's ever happened, nothing's ever bothered, until something surfaces. Then we realize we got an issue. Well, here, Paul, he kind of lays it out very smooth to Philemon, and he talks about his character. Why? Because Paul knew Philemon very well, and he knew what a faithful brother and a committed brother that he was. But he also understands that he was hurt and he felt violated. He felt bittered. There was unforgiveness and there was resentment and even prejudice to the fact that his own slave, his own worker, his co-worker, ripped him off. So there were some strong issues that Philemon really was dealing with here. So Paul, very subtle, comes in and says, I thank God, making mention of thee always in my prayer. Now, what's interesting, because he has an encounter with Onesimus. You know, it's amazing how the world could be so big, but yet so small. You know, and obviously, I'm sure Onesimus was talking about why he was there and how he ripped off this guy, Philemon. And Paul's like, I know him. And so he hears a lot that what's going on with Philemon and with Onesimus, and knew that this was a very sensitive issue with Philemon. And so as he was talking, he says, look, mentioning always in my prayers that God's brought you to my heart, and I've never forgot your love and your compassion. He goes, hearing of thy love and faith, which has towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. He goes, you've been a very faithful, committed, and not only from the Lord to the Lord, but to everybody around. And you know, and this is what sometimes I think it's hard for a lot of us to understand. Maybe a giving heart, and someone takes advantage of your kindness, of generous. And we see this among those in church that has a very kind and gentle spirit and a very giving spirit. And they always seems the one that always gets the hit on. Hey, can you give? Can you do this? Can you do that? And it's like, because it's almost you're a person that cannot say no. And so here, Philemon was one of those that Paul makes very mention of his own character, of how loving and faithful he's been towards the Lord Jesus, but also to all the saints. Just a giving person that Philemon had been. He says that the fellowship of thy faith has become effectual, and the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you and in Christ Jesus. He says, look, there's no doubt the evidence of your own character, own faith, has shown effective and acknowledging to every good thing that you've done. You've shown so much kindness and I think what Paul, or not I think, what Paul was doing is just laying the foundation of reminding. Because you know, when your heart has become hard or bittered or hurt, and you've been kind of, there's a wall that gets built up. And sometimes in our own lives, we've built up walls about towards people. And we might not say, well, I don't trust you, I don't like you. You know, many times coming into church, we have our characteristics as Christians. Oh, hallelujah, God bless you, praise the Lord. But do we really mean that in our hearts? Do we really mean it with the compassion? Especially when those that comes around, you know, and you know they hurt you, do you put on a front? Or do you kind of turn the other way and kind of walk away because you don't want to deal with it? Or do you really, from a passionate heart, to say, hey, God bless you? You know, and these are things that we're going to see as Paul kind of lays the whole thing out with Philemon. And he says, look, the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Everything that God has done in your life has shown evidence of God's faithfulness. And you've wore that well in your life. You've shown that in your Christian. I mean, I don't know if lately, or has anybody ever come up to you and says, man, I just want to thank you for your relationship. I want to thank you for the joy that I see in you. I like to thank you for just reflecting Christ in your life, that, you know, you just brings admiration to the Lord, that your joy is just, I enjoy hearing you, I enjoy seeing you, because when I see how, just how you carry yourself in the Lord, that you know that we know you're walking with the Lord, because I see this in you. And this is what Paul was bringing out to Philemon. He says, for we have, in verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee, brethren. He says, look, the brethren are encouraged by you. The example that you, it's refreshed to see a brother that's not compromising, a brother that is committed to the things of God, and it's refreshing to see someone that's not plastic, that's just not walking through the motions, but truly have a relationship, and it's refreshing to know and to see you as who you are, as a man of God. And so we see in our lives, you know, are we a breath of fresh air to people's lives? When people see us, they're like, oh, brother, glad that you're here. Sister, it's a joy to see you. You know, it's because why? The admiration that we bring of the Lord in and through our own witness, our own conduct, our own character. And so here, Paul starts to lay that out. Now, he starts shifting gears here about the intercession of the importance for Onesimus. Now, he wants to stand up for Onesimus. He wants to kind of plead Onesimus' case. Though he's guilty for what he did, yes, he's guilty as charged, but also, let's talk about this, and not so much as we look at the guilt of Onesimus, but to the work that God's going to do. A God of second chances. You know, thank God that we have a God that forgives us. He doesn't hold our past against us. He doesn't judge us because the mistakes and the failures that we made in our lives, but He looks beyond that and he sees what can become of you and what he's able to do because of your faithfulness. And so Paul kind of runs interference here and stands up for Onesimus, and he starts to really kind of pours his heart to Philemon. And he says, "Wherefore thou, I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is fitting." He says, "This is probably more appropriate for me to be in person with you and be kind of more bold to speak face to face with you, which I would rather, because this is a conversation that I would like to look to you face to face as I'm talking to you." And so Paul wants him to know, look, I'm not hiding behind a letter here. I'm not just giving someone a message to tell you a sad story. I rather do this person to person. I'd rather be there for you to see my heart, my compassion about who I'm speaking for. And because Paul puts his own character, his own self, his own reputation online to vouch for Onesimus. And he says, yet for love's sake, and he says, you know, for love's sake, because there's an immediate need that needs to take place here, I'd rather beseech thee, being such an old one as Paul. He goes, look, obviously, there are some circumstances that I cannot, but I beseech ye as one, as Paul, he goes, first of all, being such as one as Paul, the age, he goes, one that's older now, and not only older, mature, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he talks the true sense as a prisoner, not as of the world, but the prisoner as preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, and I think sometimes we get the misinterpretation, and I get this a lot in correspondence when inmates are writing to me, and I don't get as many as I used to, but they would sign it a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, I know what they mean, that now they're serving in the bondship of our Lord and Savior, which is great, but they're not a prisoner of Jesus Christ. They're a prisoner of the governor of the state of California, because they have violated a law and committed a criminal act. Their incarceration has nothing to do with their faith, except that it brought incarceration to their lives. But now, while being incarcerated, they became into a relationship with the Lord. But here, Paul was actually a true prisoner of Jesus Christ, not because he beat up Matthew or robbed Peter, but because he preached the gospel. And so here, as he says, he goes, the age, one that's older now and probably can't get around, and obviously couldn't get there because he's also now a prisoner, but also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. Now, he's taken Onesimus under his wing. Now, remember, Paul had really discipled two young men that he brought into the ministry, and that was Timothy and Titus. And he discipled, he took them under his wing. As we see here, he says, my son Onesimus. Paul, very few of you see that he mentions a certain person that he's discipling. And Philemon would have to know that Paul doesn't usually call someone my son unless he has spent time with them. And so he made that point very clearly to Philemon. He says, my son Onesimus, who have I begotten in my bonds. He goes, I've gotten to know while here in prison, I've gotten to have this relationship with him. And that's something that brings, when you start to spend time with them, you start to see who they are. You know, it's one thing having an acquaintance. Many of us, there's an acquaintance. We know each other, but unless we spent good quality time, we kind of know your likes, your dislikes, your attitudes, your behavioral situations, whatever they may seem to be. But that's when you start spending time. So he makes it very clear to Philemon that he's begun to know while he was incarcerated with Onesimus. And then not only being incarcerated to have spent time to know Onesimus, but he says in his bond he's gotten real close to him. And so then he starts to say, who in time past. Now he wants him to say, look, I'm not naive to what transpired maybe a year ago or 2 years or several years ago, but who in time past was to thee unprofitable. He was a guy that ripped you off. And I like how Paul used choice words here. He didn't say a guy that just burnt you and ripped you off, but he uses a classic word, unprofitable. You know, he was very careful to use in a sensitive way, and by using the terminology unprofitable, that he was really, in other words, he's a guy that you couldn't trust, you couldn't lean on. He did whatever he did, and he took whatever he took, and he's gone, and now he's paying the price. He's got caught. He's locked up, and he's here. I got to know him, and as I got to know him, I start to be able to what? To share with him. I mean, here you're locked up with one of the greatest apostles of all times. How can you cannot be winned over to the gospel of Jesus Christ? And so as he starts to proclaim, he says, look, he tells these, not only was he unprofitable, but now profitable to you. Now that's kind of a hard sell to anybody. First you tell me he is unprofitable, but now he's profitable not only to me, but he has been to you. And this is a true, accurate statement that Paul himself identifies with to Philemon. He says, look, he was, but what I see now is the profit, that how profitable he can be to you, and he has been to me. You know, sometimes when things happen, and this is where sometimes the unforgiveness that we just can't forgive because what they did, but the forgiveness is knowing that the fact when someone has really had turned around and the life has changed, it's like that person says, yeah, I know, but I'm so committed to do it right. You know, to me, we sometimes, this was the prejudice that sometimes, no, forget it. I just don't want you around my house. Don't be around me, my family. Don't, you know, and you know why? Because we're kind of being prejudiced towards it. Because why? He ripped you off. And sometimes it's a natural defense mechanism in our lives that we don't want to get ripped off again. And so we're making a clear statement. And then anybody that has to do with that person will stay away. I don't want nothing to do. And we become really kind of prejudiced towards, you know, people like him. People are of his kind. What is his kind? What is he like? You know, but those are broad statements that really gets us into trouble because why? We allow ourselves to become, you know, in a sense of prejudice because you what? You've been hurt. You've been lied to. However it may have been. But he says, not only is he profitable to thee, but he's also profitable to me. Now, I believe that Paul, seeing how much Onesimus had changed in his life. You know, sometimes it's hard to see when you don't give a chance to a person to prove themselves that they're changed. There's many people says, just give me a second chance and I'll show you. Just let me show you what God has done in and through me. Just a second chance. And you know, sometimes when we see people given that opportunity, it's amazing how much love, and it's hard to believe the transformation of a person's life that can be so turned around. Some of you that were so bitter and so hard and so callous and you know, and finally maybe coming into church, a situation that happened in your life and you were challenged in areas, and all of a sudden, you know, you had this divine relationship with the Lord and joy. You know, you've been lifted up from hatred and from bitterness and from hurt, and you've got joy, and it's just like you're a whole different person. Though your perspective in life is different. The peace that you carry around you is different than what you had before. And then he tells him, he says, whom? And he says, I've sent again that thou receive him that is my own heart. He goes, I want you to receive. And he was talking about here too, not only about Onesimus, but Tychicus. And he says, look, I'm sending this letter with Tychicus over in Colossians 4:7-9. He talks about sending a message with Tychicus, who very committed, very loyal. He says, receive what I've given to him as my own heart. As much as I would love to be there with you and to be able to carry these words personally, please receive it as though it's my own. And so he brings this out to him and he tells them the importance, because Paul is really standing in his defense. You know, and it's amazing how sometimes, you know, when we want someone that maybe someone asks, hey, can you vouch for my character, or I'm applying at your company, and it's hard that you want to be able to recommend because you don't want your name to be disgraced. You know, well, if you mess up, then it's going to mess up my relationship with the company. And, you know, and I don't know why, if I want to do that or not, because I don't really know your work ethics. Yeah, I know you, but how do I really know you? Are you a good worker? Are you faithful? You know, or are you one of those just kind of, and I hate to vouch for you if you're not going to really step up to the plate. Well, here, Paul sees more than just that. He sees about putting his own reputation on the line of saying, I want you to really look at this, because this guy had a totally transformation and a turnaround, and he needs to be given a second chance here. And so as he tells him this, then he says, verse 13, who I would have retained with me, that is my stead, that he have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. He says, look, I would rather love to have him stay here and work alongside me. I've seen what he's done, and I've seen his work. And what he has shown, what he has done, has demonstrated far beyond that I could ever imagine. And so he tells Philemon in this, he says, look, I would have him retained with me. Stick with me, stay here with me, because he's a very helpful person. But he tells us over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, he says, let me see here. He says, 4:23, I believe it is here. He says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. Now, I like how he lays this out, and just kind of now draft not only the character, but the character of a believer, he kind of brings out of your walk and what our ability is. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God forgave Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Now, does Paul lay it out a little bit to the fact of him putting on a little maybe too heavy? Maybe. But I think he done this to see that, hey, look, we're all been forgiven. We're all given a second chance. We're all given, you know, grace. And sometimes it's hard when we forget where we come from, that we forget how good God's been to us, how merciful he has shown us. You know, sometimes in life as a Christian, we've been around for a while and things are going and someone does something that just really offends you. Rather than being passionate, we just kind of work around it and like, well, maybe just really done. Instead of me calling them out or calling her out on it and how wrong that was, let me just encourage. You know, sometimes it's using a strategy of tactfulness, of being encouraging rather than being condemning. And there's so many times as Christians, rather than showing positive and how we can take a situation and just maybe come along that person, and that person probably expects you to come negative. And so that person's already in a defense mechanism, you know, ready to fight back. But instead of showing in a reverse way and just says, hey, you know what? Can I help you with this? Sure, you know, and so it shows so much love. And this is what I think Paul kind of brings out, and it says, being kind one to another, tender-hearted, showing mercy, compassion, as God has forgiven you. And we think about, man, God, you forgive me for a lot of things that I've done, a lot of things that maybe I didn't deserve to be forgiven, but you showed mercy. You showed forgiveness. You've shown compassion. And so as he shares this and he sees this, he says, not only here unto me in the bonds of the gospel, he shown that Onesimus was ministered unto me even in the time that I needed to be ministered. He ministered unto me. He says, but without thy mind would I do nothing that would benefit, should it be, if it were necessary, but willingness. And he says, look, I wouldn't have done this to offend you or just to pass it over and just to do it, but it needs to be restoration. He needs to be restored. He needs to move forward. You need, and it talks about sometimes that we need to just feel the restoration. We don't want to walk around people hating us or I've caused this burden upon you and because you're at an event. And you know, you've been places where you know maybe you offended somebody and all of a sudden you see that person and it's like, I can't really see that person because I really hurt that person. And it's almost like you'll leave because you don't want to offend that person anymore. Well, that's not the way that we should behave ourselves. You know, there needs to be that forgiveness that you could be in the same building, in the same place, even when someone's wronged you, that you move on from that and not allow that bitterness to remain, because that's all the enemy would like to do, is to hang on to that bitterness, that hurt, that pain, that prejudice, that unforgiveness that we deal with. He said, perhaps, and he says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that should receive him forever. He goes, maybe this was a good time that for that season. But he also says that departed season, because that departed season really taught him a lesson, but also realizing that thou should receive him forever. Okay, he did you wrong. There was a time that he, in that time of place where God was dealing with him, but now receive him. Receive him back. Because God has done something marvelous in his life. He says, not as a servant, but see, this is the key here. He tells him, don't receive him as a servant. Now, that's kind of heavy, but check this out. He says, look, not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved especially to me, and how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. He goes, don't bring him back as a servant, above a servant. Bring back as a brother. Love him. And not only would you do this, but especially to me, how much he has been to me and what he can be to you. How much glory this can bring to the Lord in the flesh and in the Lord. People see this. But hey, ain't that guy? Yeah. God did a marvelous work in his life. Look at him now. Look how he serves the Lord. See, that's what we need to see in our lives. When people see many of you, that they knew what you were an addict at one time, and you did a lot of maybe crazy things, but who you are tonight, today, you're carrying a Bible, you talk about the Lord. Yeah, you did some wicked things, but today, you're a woman of integrity, a man of integrity, a woman of faith, a man of faith, a man of the word, and a woman of the word. You show these characteristics of the transformation of what the Lord did. If thou count me, therefore, a partner. Because if you look at me as a partner, receive him as myself. That's how much I believe what God's done. He says, Philemon, if you count me to be a partner with you, then receive him as myself. Look at him as me. Because this is how much trust that I believe of what God has done in and through this man's life. And if he wronged thee or owes thee anything, put it on my account. Now, Paul is going the extra mile. If you really can't, and you're going to hold on to something that he owes you, I'll take care of that debt. But you know what's much more? How God took care of our debt. A debt that you and I owe that we will never be able to repay. But that's exactly what God did. He took care of our debt. That we're debt-free in the Lord. He's not holding what you did several years ago, or that you walked with the Lord last year, 2 years ago, and you walked away from the Lord. He's not looking and counting numbers and this and that and say, well, you did this and you did that and I can't do this and you can't. But no, he forgave you. And he forgave your debt. And that's exactly what Christ did for us. He says, I, Paul, written with my own hand, I will repay it a bit. I do not say to thee, how thou owest unto thee of its besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy in thee in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. He says, Paul was willing to put his own self as to the debt. And that's what God did for you. He put his own self as to the debt because he trusted and believed what God has done in and through your life, the transformation, what he has completed. And he will continue to perfect it till the day of his coming, as he so promised in Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a great work in thee will continue to perform it until the day of his coming. Every day we're a work in progress. Every day we're growing close to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the words of the exhortation, the love, the example that you've given us of these two young men, Philemon and Onesimus, Lord, how you're able to work a work in and through their lives, and how you were able to restore and to rebuild. So, Father, just go before us now. And if there's some things that maybe we haven't let go, or maybe we haven't forgiven, maybe we've been hurt and bittered, may we experience joy, forgiveness, restoration, Father. So go before us now, Lord, in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. James and I will be up for prayer. I don't know if anybody else is here, but we'll hear. That's all that matters. We do this two by two, side by side. All right, oh, there's Brandon. So if you want some prayer, may this is the time we can come up and be prayed for.
We've been done. clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us now lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us now lift our souls.
And Father, we thank you for tonight And as we go our separate ways, may you just fill us with your joy, your peace. Strengthen all of our hearts, Lord. We pray for our pastor. Give him strength. Refresh him. Pray for Sally that you will continue to bless her, Father. Thank you for the pastoral staff and its leaders. Thank you for VBS, Lord, and all the workers and all the laborers and volunteers. Bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now it's time to go get ice cream.